If you're listening to this in real time, on March 26, I am hosting a masterclass on how to minimize conflict with a high conflict ex. It is happening at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but if you can't make it live, there will be a recording. This masterclass will change the way that you look at the ex and your co-parenting relationship. I'm going to be talking about setting boundaries and sticking to them. I'm going to give you scripts for communicating your boundaries, what you should and should not communicate about, how to disengage the right way, mindset shifts, communication and co-parenting strategies. I'm going to share about the importance of a co-parenting plan, what it is, what should be in it, and you're even going to get a copy of our co-parenting plan straight from the court docs. There is so much more. You can find all of the information at jamiescrimger.com/high-conflict-masterclass. But if you are ready to minimize conflict and find more peace in your co-parenting relationships, I created this masterclass just for you. That's www.jamiescrimger.com/high-conflict-masterclass to secure your spot. Again, if you are ready to minimize conflict and find more peace in your co-parenting relationships, this is for you. Hey, it's Jamie Scrimger. When I became a stepmom, I quickly realized that while moms are encouraged to keep it real, there's a big double standard when it comes to stepmoms. So I decided to start the conversation myself. Thriving as a stepmom doesn't just come from conversations about being a stepmom, though. Here, we dive into marriage, relationships, personal growth, and more. My mission? Inspire you to live a kick-ass life while bringing you along as I create my own. This is the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. This week, I am sharing an exclusive conversation that happened inside my membership, the Kick-Ass Stepmom Community. And we are going to talk about stepmoms and mini wife syndrome. So mini wife syndrome, if you're like, what the heck is that, is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. Your stepkids are acting more like your partner's spouse than their child. So a few months back, I had Mary T. Kelly come inside Kick-Ass Stepmom for an exclusive interview on mini wife syndrome. So Mary T. Kelly is a marriage and family psychotherapist. She is a writer. She has been specializing and working with women who are dating, partnered, or married to men with children or step couples or step families for over 15 years. She has a private practice in Boulder, Colorado, and she runs support groups. She writes for Stepmom Magazine and the Huffington Post. And she's also a spitfire who doesn't mince her words, and I really love our conversations. So we release this exclusive interview inside the membership, which is what I do every single month. We bring in an expert to talk about something and just have a kind of next level conversation. But this conversation was just so good that I felt like I couldn't just keep it inside that space. So we unpack mini wife syndrome and our feelings about the term, what's actually going on for the kids, and some strategies for how to respond. And you know, our thoughts may actually surprise you because neither of us are really a fan of the term mini wife syndrome in the first place. It's kind of like, ew, no? Anyway, here you go. Here is the interview. It's a look into some of the conversations or the type of conversations that we're having inside the Kick-Ass Stepmom community. Just a little recap, members of the community get access to exclusive interviews and podcast episodes and workshops and coaching and a chat room you can connect with me and stepmoms from over 30 countries around the world. There are office hours, like all the things. So check it out at kickassstepmom.com. And the membership is now available on our app, which is so exciting. Makes it so much easier to access content on the go. So again, kickassstepmom.com to join. I hope you enjoy this episode with Mary T. Kelly. Enjoy. All right, Mary, welcome back to the membership. You're a fave in here.
I love coming here. It's one of my favorite things to do is talk to you about all this fun stuff.
I know. We were just talking offline. We could talk about everything for hours. It's too bad we don't live closer to each other.
I know.
So today we're going to talk about mini wife syndrome. And when I was going back and forth with you on the email about this interview, you're like, I hate that term.
Yes.
I don't like it. So first of all, let's explain what it is.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about why it's probably not the right term to be using.
Okay. So I'll tell you the reason I hate it, even though I've written articles with that title, but that was more not my choice. you know, wife implies a sexual and very intimate relationship. And so I know that there are difficult relationships between stepdaughters and stepmothers, and kind of this competitive thing, or where stepdaughters are trying to usurp the stepmom's role as wife. It's just that I think when women use that term as it pertains to their stepdaughters, it just activates something in the brain where the response is much stronger than it needs to be because of that underlying meaning of wife and that kind of relationship. So I don't think it's helpful to women as they're dealing with legitimately frustrating situations to add that extra piece on. And syndrome, I don't know, isn't syndrome like a medical term or something? I mean,
it's a bit extreme.
It's just a bit dramatic and again, just kind of activates maybe more of a response than is helpful to the person who's using it. Mm-hmm. But I get what's behind it and what can happen when stepdaughters are really seemingly competing with their stepmoms for their father's attention.
Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about what that looks like in different situations? Because I know you've dealt with, you know, you have clients who are in these situations. You've written a lot of articles on this. So what are some characteristics of, we're not using the term, but if we did use the term, the mini wife syndrome?
Well, often what women describe is, let's say, you know, they go to sit down at the dinner table and the daughter makes sure she sits right next to her father and moves her chair closer. Or if she's sitting on the couch with her husband, stepdaughter comes in and wiggles her way in between them. Or they're going somewhere and daughter is grabbing dad's hand as they're walking. So it's those kinds of feelings, or verbally countering everything that stepmom is saying, mm-hmm. or talking to their father at the exclusion of stepmom, like acting as if she isn't there, that kind of thing. And I really see it as these girls, first of all, they've had the loss of mom and dad in the home. And that's a loss, even if it's for good reason. Kids don't usually have the cognitive awareness of everything that's involved in that. So they've lost that. And then some of them may have enjoyed a period of time with their fathers before the fathers have met their new partners. And it isn't unusual that fathers, you know, daughters come in and they're like, Dad, let's do this to the house. Let's do that. Let's organize it this way. And father's like, fine. And then stepmom comes in and things start to change. Rules can change. Understandably, another person has entered the family system, so the family would do well by expanding to include her. But for a girl, she also knows now her time with her dad is, in most cases, 50% of the time. And when her dad repartners, she loses some of that 50%. It's another loss. So as much as a stepmom may want to come in and say, hey, I'm going to be good for you and I'm going to be a positive influence, to a lot of girls, it's like, no, this is more of a loss. And then it's like when they come and they're doing those kind of behaviors, I think it's a little bit like marking their territory to make sure, because they know dad gets to be with her all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's painful. So if you could walk a mile in your stepdaughter's shoes to understand from her perspective the loss that she has gone through and continues to go through, it might be easier to have some compassion and approach it in a more sympathetic way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally does. I'm thinking, though, about my daughter and I think sometimes issues that come up in our step families, we attribute them to our step family dynamic, when often there's something that first families go through as well. You know, my daughter will always try to sit beside dad on the couch, will always try to sit in between us. Yeah. If we go to hug and kiss, she'll come up and she'll hug us together. She's like, family hug. I'm like, girl, yes. Oh my gosh, you're with me all the time, right? And there's so many things that she does at her age that would trigger me a lot more if that were my stepdaughter.
Yes.
Right. And this isn't always the case, but I do think sometimes we need to kind of check ourselves. Like, is this just their personality? Is this something else going on? Or is this about the step family dynamic? When obviously in many situations it is about the grief and the loss and all the things.
Right.
But then again, my daughter is like literally in between us all the time.
Well, I agree this can happen in a first family. I think it feels a lot different just internally. Like for you, it'd be like, this is annoying me. I think when you don't have that biological connection, because as parents, we have this unconditional love for our children. It's primal, it's biological. Now, I believe the only reason we have this is so we don't kill them, really. That's the main reason. Because
makes sense.
If you've raised kids, there's times you just want to go, ugh.
Yeah.
And so when you don't have that primal connection, I just think it's going to irritate you more. And I do think a lot of it is due to the stepfamily situation. Although I also agree with you, there's so many situations that happens where a step couple or a stepmom immediately go to, well, it's because of the stepfamily. And it's like, no. You know, if you talk to other mothers, they're getting just as frustrated with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. There's actually a lot more in common than not, but it's sometimes hard to go there.
100%.
But I'll give you an example. I have a daughter-in-law who is a stepmother, which is, you know, I'm like, oh, wow. When my son told me he was getting divorced, I was like, oh, my God, that means there's a high likelihood I'll have a daughter-in-law that's a stepmother someday. That's crazy. So she had the fortune of meeting my granddaughter when she was 2.5. And I'm biased, but she is just the most delightful, loving little creature. And she also loves rules. And she's also really independent. So it's really hard. It would be hard to get annoyed with her because she's so just well-behaved and cute little girl. So she just turned 7 and she and my daughter-in-law just have a wonderful relationship. It's so funny because I'm like, I don't see this very often. So, you know, it's nice to see, but they just really click. And every time I'm around her, she's hugging my daughter-in-law going, I couldn't think of a better stepmother to have. You and mommy are my favorite people in the world. And then my son is like, wow, could I have some love over here?
Yeah. Now, I have a question. Does his ex embrace her?
She really does, which I'm so impressed by her because I think a couple of years ago on Mother's Day, she reached out to her and said, I just want to say thank you for loving my daughter so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that's unusual.
That's very big of her, right?
I'm super impressed with that. Because you wouldn't find me doing that. I'm being honest. I mean, I'm too much ego or pettiness or something.
No, I know. Now, what do you think dad can do?
Oh, he's fine. You know, he's very happy. Right now, she's in a daddy phase. But, you know, I kept looking for when is this stuff going to crop up, this primal stuff going to crop up? So Christiana had a baby a little over a year ago. And when she was 8 months pregnant, I was there. Georgie went over to my son and wrapped her arms around his legs and looked up at him and said, Dad, don't forget, you and I are the original members of this family. And I went, there it is. There it is. I finally saw it. Because I thought it's got to come up sometime. Right.
That's interesting.
And Christiana's she's very understanding. When I first met her, she said, oh, I've read every one of your articles. And I said, and yet you're still here.
If you were looking at me right now, you would think that I have a sex toy in my hands, but I don't. And while sex is also a great way to help relieve stress and manage anxiety, I'm not holding a sex toy. I'm holding Moonbird. Moonbird is a handheld breathing device designed to comfortably fit in the palm of your hand, and it's like your own personal breathing coach. So in my episode with Ashley Neese on burnout and the power of breath a few weeks back, I talked about how much intentional breathing has helped me feel more grounded and manage my anxiety. Moonbird has been a huge support in this. Right now, while you're listening to this, I want you to stop and just do some breathing. So take a deep breath in for 5 seconds. Out for 5 seconds. And do that like 5 or 6 times, even 10 times. We don't breathe enough. We don't really tap into the power of breath and how calming and grounding it can be. So Moonbird is the world's first handheld device for guided breathing exercises. So there's no need to look at an app. There's no need to count on your own. You just have to breathe. So you hold in your hands and the vibrations in this device guide your breathing. So this helps support people with insomnia or poor sleep and stress and anxiety, ADHD, autism, and burnout. So when you shake the device, it will start inflating and then deflating. So in your hand, it'll feel like you're holding this little bird that's breathing in and out. And the only thing that you need to do is breathe along with the Moonbird. So when it inflates, you breathe in. When it deflates, you breathe out. It's really simple, it's intuitive, and it takes all of the effort and thinking out of your breathing exercises. I find it so calming, and I have been trying to be more intentional with my breathing and regulating my nervous system this year, and Moonbird has been such a support. So you can use it for an afternoon breathwork session in the morning before you start your day or before your meditation or when you're in bed and trying to unwind and fall asleep. You can use it basically anytime you need to stop and really focus on your breath. So to check it out, head to www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. That's www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. Incorporating breath work into your life is such a game changer. It's been a game changer for me. I've got Darren on board teaching Reese to do the same. Seriously, breath is where it's at. That's www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. Okay, we are going on a family trip. We got a family vacation to Mexico, leaving in a week, and the whole freaking crew is going. And I am working on packing everyone up. Yes, I am helping the kids pack. Even though they're teenagers and young adults, I am making sure that they have everything that they need. Everyone has nice outfits for dinner and just all the things. And because we have so many people in this family and we're bringing my stepson's girlfriend and my stepdaughter's boyfriend, we have a couple rooms. One of the things that I'm making sure that we all have in our rooms is Element. So Element is my go-to electrolyte drink mix. It has everything you need and nothing you don't. That means lots of salt, no sugar, no artificial ingredients, coloring, etc. Just no BS. It is formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs, and it's perfectly suited if you are following a keto or a low-carb or a paleo diet. It is perfect for professional athletes, for everyday moms. It's really for everyone. I'm obsessed, and I have been for a couple of years now. They have been sponsoring the podcast for a year or so now. It is just so aligned. Lately, I have been loving it during hot yoga classes, when I need to rehydrate, when I'm traveling, and, you know, after some cocktails. And when I'm away, I try to stay away from the sugary drinks. So I will get some soda and tequila and lime and fresh mint and throw some lime electrolyte salt in there. So lime element salt into my glass, and it is so freaking good. So 100 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, 600 of magnesium. Staying hydrated is crucial and is a huge priority of mine. And proper hydration isn't just about drinking water. You gotta have adequate water and electrolytes. So I have a code for you. When you purchase Element from www.drinklmnt.com/kickassstepmom, you can get a free sample pack so you can try all the flavors and pick your faves. I love lime and watermelon. Those are my two go-tos. You get to choose what you love and what is best for you. So when you purchase Element from www.drinklmnt.com/kickassstepmom, you can get a free sample pack so you can try all the flavors. That's www.drinklmnt.com/kickassstepmom for a free sample pack with purchase.
To go back though to the mini wife syndrome situation though, you know, we talk a lot about dad's responsibility in this situation. Mm-hmm. So I do really believe there's not much that a stepmom can do
right
in this situation to change the stepdaughter's behavior other than giving it time.
And I also want to say really quickly, a lot of women, when they're talking to me about this, they feel embarrassed. They feel some shame about it. They're like, I'm so ashamed of myself that I feel like this competition
jealousy
with a kid, you know? And I'm like, don't feel bad about that. You're not a bad person. I think there is primal competition between women. And I think it's the reason that there are shows like Real Housewives of every place. Mm-hmm. And there's not real house husbands. That would be boring. They would just be talking about sports and they wouldn't be competing with each other, you know? And I think just from an evolutionary psychology point of view, it goes back to that women had to compete with each other for their very survival. And our brains really haven't changed. We can evolve past that. So I want to normalize to women that, of course, there's this an irritation when this stuff is happening, and be gentle with yourselves. This is where I think maybe having an understanding of the loss for the stepkid may help bring that adult part in where you can not take it personally. It's not personal. Whoever is in that position is probably going to experience this kind of thing. So as far as fathers, oftentimes they feel very much put in the middle. And they are put in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing. They have their daughter and then they have their new partner and they've got daughter talking to them like, I don't like this. This is unfair. She came in, blah, blah, blah. And then they've got their partner over here saying, hey, you know, I don't like how she's sitting in between us or she's giving her opinion or she's not acknowledging me. And they're in the middle. And 98% of the men I work with can't stand conflict, which they would interpret this as. And so they often feel like, I don't know what to do. Or if they try to do something, it's not good enough. And that's a frustrating feeling for them. It's a pretty powerless feeling. So, and it feels like a big ask. I hate to say it, but I've just been working with men and women for such a long time. Their daughter will do something and their wife will say, did you just see that your daughter made this snarky comment to me? Really? No, I didn't hear that. And so maybe if they could try to wake up a little bit more in those situations to be aware of that, or not to minimize what their partner is saying to them, because what they'll often do is they'll stick up for their kid. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she didn't mean it. You're just being sensitive. You're just being this and that. That's not a good way to handle it because it minimizes how their partners are feeling. Instead of saying, you know, they don't have to throw their kid under the bus, but they don't need to throw their wives under the bus by minimizing. And this is a very common response. You're too sensitive. You're imagining it. You don't like my kid. It's like, well, the truth be told.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there's this expectation, I think, of both parties, for dad to take the side or for your husband to take your side. And they feel like they're going to disappoint.
It's not about taking a side.
Right. That's where they feel though, right? They're waiting for someone to take their side. Right. And then when they don't, there's this feeling of resentment or feeling like they don't matter or they're not a priority for both the daughter and the wife. So finding that balance is key.
Well, a lot of times what women say is our marriage needs to be the number one priority. And I don't like that kind of language, like number one or number two.
I don't either.
Husbands have a priority to their marriage when they have a wife. They also have a priority as a father to their children. So they're the ones, and all obviously stepmoms with children have the same thing, but you know, they have to be doing both things. And it's sometimes, you know, let's say your date night's every Thursday night and kid has a piano recital. The priority becomes the piano recital, mm-hmm. right? It's just, and you do the date night another time. And then the same is applied, like, hey, our date night's really a priority. And so if a kid's going, but I just want you home tonight, it's like, yeah, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be the one to put him in that position.
Yeah.
Right? Like, make a Sophie's choice here. Mm-hmm. Think about what it is that you're asking. What I see a lot is, when wives go to their husband and go, your kid is literally not acknowledging me. Your daughter is not acknowledging me. She's ignoring me. He needs to do something about that because that's rude.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of men that, I don't know. I'm afraid if I do that, they won't want to come here anymore. And it's like, you have to always remember that you are a parent. This isn't about you and your feelings and bringing fear into it and not being a good parent to teach your kid, you're being rude. This isn't okay. And if a kid is struggling with the stepmom, which would be a pretty normal thing, it would be to tell her, look, I'm not telling you to like her, love her, accept her as part of the family. I'm not. You didn't have any choice in any of this. But you have to have good manners. We have to treat each other in kind and respectful ways. And I think a lot of fathers push their kids to love their stepmom or, oh, but she's so cool, develop this cool thing. And our feelings are our feelings. They are whatever they are. And so, and I would say this to stepmoms as well, don't cause any harm. Your feelings are your feelings. It's not like, oh, you should change your feelings. Well, that would be great. You can be work on, I want to be more open. Maybe if I was more compassionate, maybe if I understood things more from her perspective, it'll be easier for me to be around her. But I think too, sometimes these fathers are really pressuring their daughters to feel a certain way. And they need to back off that because of course their first and primal loyalty is to their mother.
I had a conversation with my stepson when he was younger. One stepson, love the guy, but we definitely have always just butt heads. And I've actually learned so much just about myself and everything from that relationship. It's probably been the relationship that has sparked the most growth for me in my whole life. And so, you know, obviously I'm grateful for him on that one, but he lives with us full time now.
How old is he?
He's 19. So I obviously can't be that big of a bitch because he chooses to live here all the time. Right. So there's that. I would say, here you are.
Yeah.
But I talked to him and I said, look, you don't have to like me. I am totally okay if you don't like me. Right. I also don't have to like you either. And right now it's feeling pretty hard to like you. Right. And I think we can both agree that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And I said, however, I'm not going anywhere. I married your father. We have our daughter together. This is our family. Like, I am not going anywhere. So we have a choice here. Like, we need to figure out how we're going to live together and not go through life with this tension. Right? Because this doesn't feel good for anyone in this house.
Right.
So what are we going to do? Like, what's the plan here? So think about it again, but I just want you to know, you don't have to like me. Also don't have to like you, but we got to figure this out. And it was like those real talks with him that really, I feel like have made our relationship always get a little bit better and saying like, yeah, you disrespect me, but then you expect me to do A, B, and C for you. Not happening. Love you, kid, but not happening, right? So I think even having those frank conversations can be really powerful.
Oh, I think being vulnerable with your stepkid, you just have to assess the safety of it. I can see that working at 19. And I think it's a great thing to say to a stepkid at any age, like, hey.
No, he was young. He was young when I said that.
Oh, he was young.
I would say he was maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah, I think I'd be more careful about saying not the first part to a girl, but the second part. Like a 12-year-old girl hears, and I don't have to like you either. You know,
I'd still say it.
You go, girl.
I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah, but the most difficult relationship in the stepfamily system is between stepmom and teen stepdaughter, right? So it's just how much do you want to protect yourself in that? You know, there are some kids you go, oh, I never would have been friends with them in middle school, right? And yet you're living with one. So it's figuring out, how do I want to protect myself here?
Do I want to be
genuine and authentic, or do I want to protect myself?
Tell me more about what you mean when you say protect yourself.
Oh, that's why I was saying, I would not say to a 12-year-old girl, I would say, you don't have to like me or love me or anything. We just need to be nice to each other. I would not then say, and I don't particularly like you either. It's just too much ammunition.
Yeah.
But that's a personal choice, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because a teen stepdaughter, you could never say anything and they're still going to create drama around it because that's something that tends to happen at that age. But I think if stepkids were told this in the beginning, like, look, you didn't have any choice in any of this. You didn't have any choice. Your parents divorced. You didn't have any choice in your dad bringing me in your life. And giving that permission, I think, could really circumvent some of those behaviors, them coming in and trying to mark up their territory if they didn't feel pressured to feel a certain way. And I'd say the same thing to stepmoms. You know, there's a strong culture. You must love these kids. That's a big ask for some of these kids, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, really? Really? Let me take you to the nearest mall and tell you, see that 12-year-old girl over there? You got to love her.
Yeah.
They think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But yet that's what's expected of stepmoms. So our feelings, you know?
Well, yeah, just the unrealistic standards put on stepmoms. It's wild. It truly is wild.
It is disgusting. It's disturbing. It's very, very prevalent. And the culture doesn't care. And despite the fact that right now there are more people living alone, families living together outside of marriage and remarriages with kids, the nuclear family is the minority. But you wouldn't know it. And ironically, Hollywood hasn't gotten that message, even though all the people acting in it and stuff, writing it and stuff, are on their second, third, fourth marriage.
Yeah.
But it's still presented as the norm, right? And so people don't care about step families. They are treated less than, and stepmothers especially. You know, sometimes people go, what about stepdads? Well, we give men a lot of graciousness around it. Because a guy takes the kid to soccer and, oh, he's a hero. Oh, look at that guy. He's such a great guy. And then stepmom takes Johnny to the soccer game and she's either intrusive or she was supposed to.
Yeah. What did she expect?
You see all the mom things on Instagram where they're bitching about their kids, which is, yes, thank you. It's hard. It's really hard. But stepmoms can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very lonely. Very, very. And boy, God forbid that you tell someone, you know, I'm not looking forward to his daughter coming over. It's this big battle the whole time. The other thing I want to address quickly is men that they have all this guilt and shame that they haven't talked about or resolved. And they're spending ridiculous amounts of time, like putting their daughters to bed, or, oh, I need to be there when she falls asleep, or I need to sleep with her. This is not a healthy thing. Mm-hmm. It's especially not healthy for daughter. One thing children need to learn at pretty early ages is that they can sleep by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this, so often when I'm working with women, their frustration is towards the stepdaughter. Well, she won't go to sleep unless he lays down and falls asleep. I go, oh, it's on him.
Yeah.
This isn't on her. She's being a kid trying to get what she wants. She's so manipulative. Okay. I don't know about you. I had four kids. I never saw them as manipulative. I just didn't see that. Were they trying to get their way because they're very powerless as children?
Yeah. I'm laughing right now because our daughter still sleeps with us. And I will tell you, I'm a great mom in a lot of ways, but I have screwed up the sleep big time. And at this point, it is not about her. This is about me.
Yes.
Right? This is about me and my inability to set that boundary and to really, you know, parent that piece. And I own that.
Okay, but I'm not saying this to shame you or make you feel bad about that.
Oh, I don't care. I'm not, you didn't offend me, but I'm just laughing, right? But it is about me. It's not about her. Like for me to say right now to her, when she's been used to sleeping with us, she's 9. Oh, you need to go sleep on your bed tonight by yourself. And if she cries, that's manipulative. No, this is what she's been used
to.
Right,
right.
Like this is a process.
Well, what you could say, I said this to my son, but he was 3 because he started freaking out at 18 months when I put him in the crib. And I had another, my sons are 14 months apart. So he had like, there was another crib in the room, but he's freaking out. So we let him sleep on the floor. And then I had my third child. It was ridiculous. I had four kids in under 5 years. Yes, I knew how it happened. Okay, don't. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Then I had my third child, and my mother very gently said, so you're going to have your newborn baby and Brent sleeping on the floor? And I was like, oh, yeah. So I went to him, I said, guess what? Mommy and Daddy made a big mistake. We made a mistake, and we didn't teach you that you are so capable of sleeping on your own. So you have to go sleep in your bed now. Now, I'm sure I got lucky. He said, okay. So that was that. But there were different times in my life where I was more permissive with my sons and my daughters who were younger. And they go, well, you let Brent and Nate do that. Why aren't you letting us do that? I said, because I was an idiot when I let them do those things. I was making big parental mistakes. I can't do that anymore.
So good.
So it's just owning it to them. Like, hey, I've made a big mistake here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's circle back before we wrap it up. What's our advice for the stepmoms who are dealing with this? We want them to obviously have their partner listen to the spiel about how they need to be encouraging respect. That needs to be a non-negotiable in the home, giving time and making sure they know the process.
Right. And letting them, for the fathers, it's not about changing their kids' feelings. It's about changing their behaviors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And looking at when we make decisions based on fear, it's going to backfire. There's a natural system that doesn't reward us for making decisions based on fear. I'm not talking about physical safety things. And if a kid decides to not live with dad at some point, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. They can't worry about that. But really to pay more attention and for women to really try to bring some compassion and understanding to what has it been like for this kid mm-hmm. to go through a divorce with their parents and then now have to share their dad some more with somebody else. It's really, really hard. That's a hard thing. And to remember, 80% of young adult stepkids do not feel close to their stepmothers. This does not mean they dislike them, but, you know, and for females, it could be part of that competition thing, that primal competition. And I like what you're saying, too. Have a vulnerable talk. I mean, one thing that I've encouraged moms to say is, hey, I want you to know that when you're here, I know your dad has a special room in his heart and it is just for you. I don't get to go in that room. It is just for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has a special heart for me, if you want to add that. But to let her know that so that she might feel like, oh, she understands. Does that make sense? There's nobody that gets to go in that room in your daddy's heart but you.
Yeah, it reminds me. I didn't even remember saying this, but my stepdaughter said to me when we did a podcast episode together, she says, one of the things you said to me when you first came that I felt like really kind of set the tone of our relationship is you told me that if I ever felt like you were around too much or I didn't get enough time alone with my dad, or if I was doing something that bugged her, I wanted her to tell me. I wanted her to let me know how she was feeling because my dad had girlfriends growing up and they would like sit in my spot at the table and just like not even just little things that bugged me. So it really kind of, you know, steered the way that I approached step parenting. But she said that really, you know, changed our relationship. And I know I'm lucky, but I also think I did a lot of work at the very beginning with my relationship with Madison. We have a great relationship and we've never really had any issues. And I think I said that to her and maybe I wasn't as vocal about that with my stepsons. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is the difference. I don't know. Different personalities, different things, but that does work.
Right.
You never know.
We don't know, but I think it's a really powerful thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them may not even have the words for it or be able to conceptualize that kind of thing until you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to feel better.
Yeah. Just let me know.
Yeah.
So good. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Where can everyone find you if they want to work with you? They want to read more of your articles, all the things.
I can be reached at mary@realstepfamilies.com. I'm on Instagram as @realstepmoms. I'm clearly a terrible business person because none of this is congruent.
Done well so far.
Yeah. Facebook, I think it's Real Step Families.
I'll tag everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Tag everything. And yeah, those are the best ways to reach me is to write me. I have a website, realstepfamilies.com, and that has a little thing that you can contact me that way. I love working with stepmoms. I'm really, really brainstorming because I want to catch the eye of, I've got some good connections as far as in the media world. I want to just do this pitch like there's ageism, that's still around. And there's stepmomism, and nobody's talking about it, and nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And women are often so objectified in these roles. It's just mind-blowing to me. So I have some goals around that of trying to reach out, because one out of four people are part of a stepfamily right now, but it's just terribly misunderstood. So I also want to acknowledge to any women watching this, if you have a stepdaughter thing, I feel for you. I do. It's not easy. It's not easy. And don't judge yourself on it, but, you know, look for different solutions.
So good. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mary. And I'm sure we'll have you back soon. That's it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd be so grateful if you could share it with someone in your life who you think could benefit from it. And if you haven't already left a rating and a review on iTunes, it really is the best way to support the show. And if you're craving more real talk and coaching and community, be sure to check out my membership, the Kickass Stepmom Community. Head to www.kickassstepmom.com to learn more.